This article is brought to you by the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. How to use the deal method to diffuse tension between two colleagues who refuse to cooperate. A four-step method to turn a frozen standoff into a workable agreement. In short, tension between two colleagues who refuse to cooperate does not resolve itself. Silence hardens positions, and good intentions without structure collapse under pressure. The deal method gives you four clear steps to move from frozen standoff to genuine resolution, to find the real issue, not the surface argument. Explore both perspectives before any solution is considered. Agree on a solution that neither person had to accept alone. Lock in the commitment with specific actions and a follow-up date. Definition: the deal method is a four-step conflict resolution framework. Define the issue, explore perspectives, agree on a solution, and lock in the commitment, designed to turn chaotic emotional workplace disputes into structured, solvable conversations with clear accountability built in. Two colleagues stopped speaking directly to each other 3 weeks before I was asked to help. They communicated through a shared assistant, copied everyone on emails that should have been private, and managed to bring an entire department to a grinding standstill. Both were capable, both were committed to their work, and both were absolutely certain the other person was the problem. I sat down with each of them separately, and do you know what I found? Two people with unmet needs, neither of whom had any idea how to say so. That is the truth of most workplace tension. It is not about the project deadline or the missed handoff or the credit dispute. Those are the visible sparks. The fuel underneath is almost always unspoken expectation, wounded respect, or the fear of being seen as weak if you reach out first. Without a clear process to follow, even the most well-meaning manager walks into that room and makes things worse, taking sides without meaning to, offering solutions before hearing both stories, or letting one strong personality dominate while the quieter one retreats further. The deal method, which I introduce and Say It Right Every Time, was built for exactly this situation. It is a four-step process that gives you structure when emotions are running high and instinct is the worst guide you have. In this article, I will show you how each step works, when to use the full method and when to adapt it, and what tends to go wrong when people skip the parts that feel uncomfortable. The foundation. Why structure is the only thing that holds under pressure. Most people believe that if they are fair-minded and calm, they can mediate a conflict through good judgment alone. I believed that too, for the first 10 years of my career. Then I watched myself inadvertently validate one colleague's version of events simply by nodding while she spoke first. The other person shut down completely, and the problem got worse, not better. Here is what pressure does to a conversation. It narrows your thinking. When two people are in genuine conflict, both of them are running on defensiveness, not clarity. The person trying to help them is juggling both narratives at once while also managing the emotional temperature of the room. Without a framework to fall back on, you end up reacting rather than guiding. Structure does something specific in a tense conversation. It signals to both people that this process is fair, that neither of them will be railroaded, and that the goal is a real solution, not a managed retreat. How to start a difficult conversation that is blocking your team's progress matters enormously, and the deal method gives that conversation a spine. The deal method. How each step works in practice. The deal method is drawn from Chapter 6 of Say It Right Every Time, where I cover conflict resolution and difficult conversations in full. The method has four steps. Define the issue, explore perspectives, agree on a solution, and lock in the commitment. Each step has a specific job, and skipping any one of them is like pulling a support beam out of a structure that was holding weight. Step 1. Define the issue. What it is designed for. Separating the real problem from the surface argument, and framing it in a way that neither person can dismiss as an attack. How it works. Number 1. Before the meeting, write a neutral problem statement. This is not a summary of who did what. It is a description of the situation that both people could read and recognize as accurate, even if they disagree on cause. The handover process between the design team and the development team has broken down, and deadlines are being missed as a neutral problem statement. Sarah keeps dumping unfinished work on James is an accusation. Number 2. Open the meeting by reading the neutral problem statement aloud. Say clearly that your goal is not to assign blame, but to find a workable path forward. Number 3. Ask each person to confirm they understand the issue as stated, not whether they agree on who caused it. When to use it. Every time. This step is not optional. Without a shared definition of the problem, both people spend the entire meeting arguing about the wrong thing, when not to use it alone. Do not linger here if one person tries to use the definition phase to relitigate the whole conflict. Name it. We will get to each of your perspectives in the next step. Right now, I just need us to agree on the shape of the problem. A worked example. Two colleagues, Marcus and Priyar, are in conflict over who has decision-making authority on a client account. The neutral problem statement might be, there is currently no clear agreement on who has final sign-off on client communications, and this is creating delays and friction. Neither person is named as the cause. Both can acknowledge that statement is true. Eamon's note. I have seen more mediations fail at this step than at any other. Someone walks in wanting to be heard, and instead gets a lecture on neutrality. The definition phase is not about being cold. It is about earning both people's trust before anything harder begins. Step 2. Explore perspectives. What it is designed for. Giving each person a genuine hearing before any solution is discussed. Genuine curiosity here is not a technique. It is the only thing that creates the psychological safety needed for honest conversation. How it works. Number 1. Ask each person to speak without interruption. Set this expectation explicitly before anyone begins. I'm going to ask each of you to share your perspective. The other person will listen without responding until you're finished. Number 2. While each person speaks, adopt what I call the journalist mindset. Your job is to understand, not to evaluate. Ask clarifying questions that open the story wider, not questions that challenge the facts. Help me understand what that felt like from your position works. But did you not agree to that deadline? Does not. Number 3. After each person speaks, reflect back what you heard before moving on. This is not agreement. It is confirmation that you understood. Number 4. Look for the need beneath the position. Most conflicts are two people with unmet needs. When Marcus says Priyar is overstepping, what he often means is, I do not feel respected in this role. When Priyar says Marcus is obstructive, she often means, I do not feel trusted to do my job. Name what you are hearing carefully. When to use it. Always, and always before step 3. The temptation to jump to solutions is enormous, especially when you can already see a reasonable answer. Resist it. A solution that is imposed on one person is not a solution. It is a temporary ceasefire. When to adapt. If one person uses this phase to deliver a monologue designed to dominate, gently redirect. I want to make sure we hear from both of you equally. Let me bring the other perspective in now. A worked example. Back to Marcus and Priyar. Marcus says he feels undermined every time Priyar emails the client directly without copying him. Priyar says she feels like Marcus creates bottlenecks that cost the account goodwill. Both statements are about damaged respect. That is the real issue, and it will not be solved by a process chart alone. Eamon's note. The journalist mindset saved me more times than I can count. The moment you stop trying to solve and start trying to understand, the whole room changes temperature. Step 3. Agree on a solution. What it is designed for. Building an answer that both people helped create, because people defend what they build and resent what is handed to them. How it works. Number 1. Summarize what you have heard from both sides, noting the shared interest beneath both positions. In most workplace tensions, both people want the work to succeed. Start there. Number 2. Ask each person what they need, not what they want the other person to stop doing.
Needs are constructive. Complaints are not. Number 3. Generate options together. You are not deciding for them. You are asking.
Given what both of you have said, what could work?
Write the options down. Seeing them on paper moves the conversation from abstract grievance to practical choice. Number 4. Test each option against both people's stated needs.
If Marcus needs to feel informed, and Priyar needs to feel trusted, the solution must address both.
A schedule for direct client contact with a standing copy protocol might satisfy Marcus. Priyar gets autonomy within a clear structure when not to use it. Do not move into this step if either person is still too activated to think clearly.
If the conversation becomes circular or one person shuts down, pause. Say, I think we need a 5-minute break and then come back to this with fresh eyes.
De-escalation before solution building is not a failure. It is good judgment. A worked example.
For Marcus and Priyar, a workable solution might be, Priyar handles day-to-day client communication autonomously and copies Marcus on any communication that involves a decision above a defined threshold.
Marcus commits to a 24-hour response time so Priyar is never blocked. Both had input. Both can live with it. Eamon's note. I used to feel pressure to produce a brilliant solution. The older I got, the more I understood that the best solution in the room is usually the one the two people build themselves, because then neither of them can say they were overruled. Step 4. Lock in the commitment. What it is designed for. Turning a verbal agreement into an accountable commitment. As I write in Chapter 6 of Say It Right Every Time, a verbal agreement is not enough. How it works. Number 1. Write down every specific action each person has agreed to. Not we will communicate better. Specific, observable, time-bound actions. Marcus will respond to all client-related emails within 24 hours. Prayer will copy Marcus on any email that involves a scope or budget decision. Number 2. Set a follow-up date. Name it in the room, in front of both people. We will meet again in 2 weeks to see how this is working. This creates accountability without surveillance. Number 3. Ask each person to confirm their agreement in writing after the meeting, by email or shared document, within 24 hours. This small act makes the agreement real in a way that conversation alone never does. Number 4. End the meeting by naming the value of what just happened. You both came into a hard conversation and worked through it. That deserves respect. When to use it. Every time, without exception. The most common reason tensions return after mediation is that the resolution was warm, but vague. Warmth fades. Specificity holds. A worked example. Marcus and Priya each send a brief email to the mediator the next morning confirming their 3 agreed actions. The follow-up meeting 2 weeks later takes 15 minutes. The tension does not return. Eamon's note. I learned this step the hard way. Early in my career I would end a mediation feeling satisfied because both people were smiling and shaking hands. 6 weeks later I would be back in the same room with the same problem. The commitment step is not bureaucracy. It is the difference between a repaired relationship and a delayed explosion. Choosing your approach. When the full deal method applies and when to adapt. Not every tension between colleagues requires a formal 4-step mediation session. Here is a practical guide to matching your approach to the situation. Situation recommended approach. Tension is new. Both people still talking one-to-one conversation using neutral problem framing. Standoff has lasted more than 2 weeks full deal method with a third-party facilitator. Both people willing to meet, even reluctantly full deal method. All 4 steps. One person refuses to engage, name the refusal directly. Escalate to formal process, if it persists. Agreement reached, but tension returns. Return to step 4. Revisit the commitment and tighten the specifics. Conflict involves a power imbalance. Involve HR. The deal method works alongside, not instead of, formal process. The method works best when both people are willing to be in the room, even if they are angry. It does not replace formal HR processes for serious conduct issues. And it works best when the person facilitating it has no stake in the outcome. If the tension is affecting your team's ability to function together, you may also find it useful to read how to use the deal method to resolve conflicts that are fracturing team synergy, which addresses the method in a broader team context. What goes wrong when people apply this method badly? I have watched capable, well-intentioned people follow the deal framework and still produce a poor outcome. Almost always, it comes down to 3 specific errors. The mistake, skipping the neutral problem statement because it feels too formal. Why it happens? People assume the fairness will be obvious and that both parties will trust the process without it. What to do instead? Write the neutral problem statement before you ever enter the room. Read it aloud at the start. It takes 90 seconds and it changes everything. The mistake, moving to step 3 before both people feel genuinely heard. Why it happens? The facilitator can see a workable solution early and wants to reach it before the room heats up further. What to do instead? Slow down in step 2. Ask one more question. Reflect one more time. The solution will hold better for the extra 10 minutes you spend in listening. The mistake? Ending the session without a written commitment. Why it happens? The room ends on a good note and it feels wrong to introduce paperwork into a moment of goodwill. What to do instead? Frame the written commitment as the final act of respect. Tell them, what you both just did deserves to be documented so neither of you has to carry it all in your head. For more on giving specific, behavior-focused feedback that supports the work done in a deal session, the SBI method for feedback that changes behavior is a practical companion tool. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling books 8 Right Every Time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblickthorne.com. Now, back to the article. Building the skill. What practice actually looks like. Reading the deal method once and expecting to apply it cleanly under pressure is like reading about swimming and jumping into deep water. The structure helps. It does not eliminate the difficulty. Here is what genuine practice looks like over time. In the first month, use step one alone. Before any difficult conversation, write a neutral problem statement, even if just for yourself. This single habit changes how you enter tense situations. It forces you to separate fact from interpretation before the emotional stakes rise. In the second month, practice step two in lower stakes conversations. Use the journalist mindset during a disagreement with a peer about a meeting that is not running productively. Notice when you are evaluating instead of understanding. Correct it. By the third month, run through the full four-step sequence in a real but manageable conflict. You do not need to be perfect. You need to be structured. Conflict is a form of energy, and the deal method is the channel that stops it from burning things down. The core framework for staying grounded during tense workplace conversations is a strong complement to this practice. It helps you manage your own state, while the deal method manages the conversation structure. Over time, the method becomes less of a script and more of a reflex. You will still feel the pressure. You will still want to jump to solutions too early, but you will catch yourself because you will have a clear sense of which step you are in and what it requires of you. For a deeper look at how the full framework applies to feedback-driven disagreements specifically, see how to use the deal method to resolve disagreements about feedback at work. And if you're working on building stronger relationships between peers before tensions arise, peer-to-peer feedback for strengthening team bonds offers a practical starting point. Carrying this forward. A repaired relationship is often stronger than one that was never tested. I have seen that happen more times than I expected. Two colleagues who once refused to be in the same room, who learned through a structured process to hear each other, often develop a working relationship with more respect and more directness than colleagues who never had to work through anything hard together. The deal method does not guarantee that outcome. Nothing does. But it gives two people a fair process, a genuine hearing, and a specific commitment. That is more than most of them have ever been offered in a conflict. And in my experience, most people, even those who arrive furious, rise to meet a process that treats them with respect. Conflict is not the enemy. Silence is. The moment you reach for the deal method instead of hoping the tension resolves on its own, you have already made the most important decision to lead. Frequently asked questions. What is the deal method? The deal method is a four-step conflict resolution process from Chapter 6 of Say It Right Every Time. It stands for define the issue, explore perspectives, agree on a solution, and lock in the commitment. It turns emotional workplace disputes into structured, solvable conversations with clear accountability built in. When should you use the deal method with colleagues? Use the deal method when two colleagues have stopped cooperating, when tension is affecting team output, or when a disagreement has gone unresolved long enough to become personal. It works best when both people are willing to meet, even reluctantly, and when the goal is a genuine working resolution, not just a ceasefire. How do you start the deal method conversation? Start by preparing a neutral problem statement that describes the situation without blame. Begin the meeting by stating your goal to help both people find a way to work together productively. Ask each person to share their perspective before any solution is discussed. This sequence sets the tone and earns trust from both sides early. What makes the deal method different from a normal conversation about conflict? Normal conflict conversations often start with blame and end with vague promises. The deal method gives every stage a clear purpose, defining the real issue, hearing both sides without interruption, building a mutual solution, and locking in specific commitments with a follow-up date. Structure prevents the conversation from collapsing under emotional pressure. What should you do if someone refuses to engage in the deal method process? Name the refusal directly and calmly. Explain the cost of continued non-cooperation to the team and to each individual. If genuine willingness is absent after that, the issue is escalated beyond peer mediation and requires a formal management or HR process. The method requires at least minimal willingness from both parties to function. How do you lock in the commitment at the end of the deal method? A verbal agreement is not enough. Write down the specific actions each person has agreed to, the timeline for each, and the date you will check in together. Both people should confirm the summary in writing, by email or shared document, before leaving the meeting. Specificity is what makes a commitment last beyond the goodwill of the moment. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblickforum.com to get your copy.